So I think at some point, in, I gave this as three separate shirim, and then at some point I created an executive summary of it. But I won't necessarily do this the way I did this originally. But I think one of the central topics to talk about, and the one that Yaakov bothers me, I think, about, one of the things you bother me most about, is posketing for yourself. So I figured we'll just do it. We'll just do it, at least a summarized version.
Oh, I thought you were about to say that Yaakov bothers me and he needs to recover.
I mean, maybe that too, but that was not what I was going to say. And this might probably take us 2 weeks, it's three sugyas together, is the question of, when can you posken for yourself? Okay, when can you posken for yourself? Now, there are basically three factors in this question. Okay? One is, as you said, as I put it in the title here, right? One is the question of kavod. Now, the question of kavod is as follows. There are times where, even if you are a posek and you are fully qualified to posken, you can't, in a given time, not like you are you're disqualified from poskening that shaila ever, but you are temporarily unable to posken because of external factors that dictate that it would be disrespectful for you to issue a psak at that time. Right?
Why? Just because your rav is with you and presumably knows more than you, and you show, I don't know why it's respectful to not voice your opinion on yourself.
Ah! So let's be careful there, right? There's a difference between those two, between voicing your opinion and poskening, right? Remember, we've talked about this, and we'll talk about it more, that poskening means, right, is a binding halachic, right? That is a binding halachic, thanks. I'm good. Is a binding halachic activity, right? Voicing your opinion is one thing. What psak really is, right? Imagine the scene, right? Psak, we're not talking about I voice my opinion necessarily when Rav is there. Posketing means my Rebbe, someone asked a shayla, right? I'm there, my Rav is there, and I try to impose my authority on a third party rather than allow my Rebbe to do it.
Well, that's
not asking your Rav.
Big yes, sir.
What?
More halakha.
Correct. That is a big.
He's not asking your Rav. He's asking you.
Correct. But you understand why that might, right, be disrespectful for you to express authority.
If anything, I think it's the opposite. I think it's showing more respect because I learned from my Rav, and now I know the knowledge.
No. You're not being mavatal.
Let me tell you a story.
You're not being mavatal.
I taught you everything.
Sure.
No. The only reason you're not.
Sure. Go ahead. Sure. Let me tell you a story.
You need to be mavatal.
Okay.
Yes.
The story time. Rav Lichtenstein wrote in one of his articles, he was describing his Rebbeim, and he once said, I found the Rav overawing, and I found Rav Huttner overwhelming.
Right?
Overawing?
Like awe. Awesome.
Like awesome. Yes,
just not
awesome. Overawing. And I found Rav Huttner overwhelming. Right? So I remember once that Itamar Rosenzweig, now Rabbi, maybe Rabbi Doctor, I don't even know, Rabbi Dayan, whatever. He asked him, he's like, Rebbe, what did you mean by that? So he said, look, right, the Rav was someone I respected, he was my Rebbe, right? Rav Huttner, I was once at Rav Huttner's house, and Rav David Cohn had issued a psak. Rav David Cohn was Rav Aaron's chavrusa in Chaim Berlin. He's now a very prominent posek in the Yeshivish community. And he issued a psak that Rav Huttner did not agree with. And Rav Huttner picked up the phone and yelled at him, and he told him, you know, you have to change your mind. They argued about it. And
this is a Talmud of Rav Huttner?
Yeah, Rav David Cohn. And Rav David Cohn stood his ground. Right, he decided he was going to posken.
Do you know what the issue was?
I do not know what the issue was. And he said, when Huttner hung up the phone, he said, "Today is for me like Tisha B'Av." Right, because there was this notion. Right, he was very into this, and some people really are into this. Right, I am his Rebbe. Right, he does not have independent authority, at least in my presence. Right, this is not about whether he's qualified to be a posek. This is a question of, right, I don't know if this is just because Huttner thought it's something to always do to him because they're both in Brooklyn, right, both in the same place, right? But I've experienced this, right? I don't have the, right, even if someone asked me, a shayla, right, and I'm standing next to, this happened next to, I don't know, Ray Willig, right? I am not poskening that shayla. It's just not happening.
So then you should never. You should always be like, you know, you should go to my rabbi.
No, there's a difference. No, because there's a difference. Because there's a difference between saying I'm not qualified and saying my rebbe is there.
Yeah. Isn't that the din? It's not like if your rebbe's in Asia and you're
American. Correct. No, it's bifnei. Well, that's what I want to say. So, but this is
your, if your rebbe's in like
it's the same thing. He's disqualifying you.
No, it's not the same thing. Right? It's not the same thing.
Not a problem.
Think about it. It's
I don't think it's disrespectful if I ask Yaakov and his rebbe's in front. Let's say Yaakov's in 30
years. If I answered in front of Rabbi
Chaid,
are you kidding me?
If I'm asking you, what do you think the psak would be on this Shiloh? I'm asking you. I'm not asking you.
No,
that's different, though. That's a theoretical.
No, this is not. This is not theoretical. This is not what your opinion.
You said what's
this is
no, what's,
right?
If you were to say psak,
that's not what you said, though. You said what do you think the psak
would be? What's the psak?
No,
what would it be?
No. Like what is it? Impose your authority, right?
Okay.
Now this is look. I mean, and you'll see, this is sort of a series of halachot that are about this. That's factor one, okay? Factor two is the, probably what is more important usually, which is, what does one need to know to be a posek? Right? That's the million-dollar question, right? Which is, right, at which point do I become a posek?
Not as much as
well, is he teaching here, so should we go other side? Go other side? Let's go to the other side.
Let's see.
Like a level where you...
What?
Isn't there a level where you wouldn't daven if like you actually are...
But if you're Tarasso...
No, so we shouldn't be half
okay.
there.
Okay.
To anyone higher than us.
Something else. Whether he needs to stop the shir to go to daven mincha, the answer is yes.
Okay.
He's not Tarasso Umnaso.
Right.
He's planning on getting married. He's planning on getting married one day. Right?
Right?
As opposed to Tarasso Umnaso, who's not. Right?
If his rub is there, it's disrespectful to get married in front of him.
No. Okay.
What time is
when? Okay.
Wow.
So that's... Now, the central question, I think, in Paskin for yourself, obviously, is really the different question, which is, at which point do one... The girls at Amajim asked me this today. When does one become a posek? What do you need to do? They asked me practically, what do you need to do to become a posek? I'm like, well, it's pretty simple. You need to master all of the primary sources, have a decent working knowledge of all the previous authorities and how to utilize them, understand how to balance that against extenuating circumstances, understand how to apply that to reality, and that sounds about it. And I'm like, does that sound easy? They're like, no, that sounds terrible. That sounds impossible. I'm like, yes, it's supposed to. It's not easy. But the second factor is obviously not how do you posken for yourself, is at what point does one become qualified?
What shiur do you teach
them? I'm teaching them contemporary halacha with an eye towards methodology. So today was intro to methodology, right? It was what are the factors of psak? And they're like, at some point, how does one become a posek? Is a rabbi a posek? I said, being a rabbi is neither a necessary nor a sufficient quality for being a posek. One can be a... I said, one can have smicha and not be allowed to paskin, and one cannot have smicha and be allowed to paskin, right? That magic word does very little, right? I was
any,
like...
Any shidduchim for shua or granami?
Oh, I'll keep my eyes open.
My question was just about to be if you're a shadchan.
I know what you should have.
You must be a nami.
I must be able to analyze people.
My first two attempts at shidduchim were both successful. That's all I know.
Three. Right? Do you know where to go?
There is. Anyways, now the third factor is, let's say you are undeniably an expert. You are a world expert. Shua has now mastered chas, post-game knows them by heart, backwards, forwards, inside out. He's done shimush in psak with Rabbi Chaid for 40 years, right? He's now however old he is, right?
Shimush from him.
The third question one has to ask is, okay, but he can he's qualified to paskin for everybody else, but is he qualified to paskin for himself? Why wouldn't you?
Why would others be okay and not yourself?
You're going to be biased.
Thank you, because you're biased, right? You're biased, right? To give you an example, the classic one in postkin, this sounds like the... When I say the classic example, it sounds like tongue-in-cheek, like I'm giving you the example because you're teenage boys. I'm not. I'm giving you the example that postkin used, right? Which is, if someone else asks you a question of whether his wife is still a Nida or has become a Nida, right? You can look at it it objectively, right? If your own wife comes to you, right? Suddenly, are you biased? Right? Right?
Here's my question. What if your rub comes and asks you, Shiloh, you're not a possible for your rub?
If your rub asks you...
Then it's disrespectful.
If your rub asks you, presumably, right?
There's someone that would be more...
But I wouldn't want my rub to come and ask me a need to Shiloh. I'm just saying, it'd be awkward.
That's true.
Right? If you want my opinion and a kosher Shiloh offer, yeah, me done. I get... That's just awkward. Okay?
But you're in front of your...
And then I will do... And then I will do what I do in 90% of need to Shiloh that come to me, which is, please ask my wife. Right? It's much easier. She says, that's it. Go ahead. Right? I learned Nida like for 1 year in YU. My wife has learned it 3 years full time. Go ahead. Right? Ask her. I am your design. I don't have to answer this.
I haven't answered all my questions.
Oh, your Nida questions? All those that you had?
What?
I hope you had none. But okay.
Not for myself.
He's trying to make sure that...
Never mind.
Anyways.
See, like I said, this is not the example I'm giving you because you're teenage boys, but because this is the one that's actually found in Postkim. Right? This is like... Yeah, where is Chaim when you need him?
Where's Donnie?
Donnie would have walked out already.
This is even proper. This is...
I missed Donnie.
We video chatted.
So those are the... So guys, those are the three factors, right? The question of how does one become a posek? Sof-sipor. How, right, when is a posek disqualified from poskening for himself because of bias? And when, even if he's allowed to posken, right... When is he not allowed to actually issue that decision because his Rebbe is present? Right. Those are the three factors. Now, the kavod thing, I'm going to run through quickly. I really just gave you Shulchan Aruch here, where you get a summary. Now, you can trust Rebbe Yosef Karo, or you can look it up, but these emerge from Gemara's, right? He's not making this up, but it's much easier for me to put his summary, because he puts it all together, and you get a feel for what this looks like. So he says... One is obligated to respect his Rebbe and fear him, be in awe of him even more than his father. And if you argue against your Rav, it is like arguing against the Shechina. I was about to say that, but you said it, so it's good.
How do you define argue, though?
Good. What does it mean? So, kol shekoveh lo midrash. Now you understand what it means. Kol shekoveh lo midrash, v'yoshev doresh umelameid, shelo birshut rabo, v'rabo kayam, avo bishu b'din acheret. You set up a yeshiva, you become a big rabbi, you're posking of everybody, right? And you don't bother asking your Rebbe and saying, even if it's in a different country, like you don't tell your Rebbe, by the way, I'm becoming a Rosh Yeshiva in whatever, you know, like you should at least, like, you know, if you respect your Rebbe, you understand that he's Dalmud Chacham, that what you owe to him, you know, you should at least bring this up. Like, I'm thinking of starting a yeshiva where people are going to treat me, you know, as a rabbi, ask me shailas, you know, is that a good idea? Are you okay with that? Something like that. The Rama writes, "Avo mutar lachlok ala beiza psaka hara." Now this comes back to Shua's thing. He said, "This doesn't mean you're not allowed to disagree. You are allowed to disagree with him with a specific proof." Yes.
Thank God.
He says you're allowed.
You don't like the Rama too.
But he says, "Im yesh lo ra'ayot v'chachol l'dvaravsha din imo." He said, "Look, respect doesn't mean that you aren't allowed to have an opinion. If you disagree with your Rabbi because you have ra'ayot, then you're allowed to disagree, right? That's not a problem, right? This isn't preventing you from having an opinion, right? Trust me, there are many times I've argued and disagreed with my Rebbeim, and I will tell you, right, very simply, that they are much bigger Talmid Chacham than I am, or I will ever be, right? That doesn't mean I didn't disagree with them, right? Sometimes I would say that to them, sometimes they'd agree, sometimes they'd shoot me down, right? Trust me, it was scary whenever I disagreed
with
the Lechon
Zain. When they shot you down, did you be like, oh wow, I actually don't disagree with you anymore?
No, Lechon Zain, actually, it took me a year and a half. I once said something in Shir, challenged Lechon Zain. He shot me down so fast that, like, literally, like, a year later, someone else who happened to be visiting remembered how badly he shot me down. But it was so bad that it took me a year to even figure out what he had said. Right? Because he went so fast. Like, it only processed literally 12 months later. And 6 months after that, I figured out why I disagreed and went back to him, right, and presented my argument, and he was moda that I was right. So that was, like, one of the greatest moments of my life. Period. Okay? So, wow, it was awesome.
About when you got married.
What? One of the greatest moments, I said. Right? Getting married was great too. Having my kids was great too, yes. But it was a really great moment. It was awesome. Oh, that was, yeah, obviously. Anyways. But you're allowed to disagree. Now, I mean, look, I...
Sure.
Okay, I'll try. You know, I used to argue the Ray Willig, and Ray Willig is more expressive than Lachonstein, so that was always fun, right? At least under one circumstances, I probably was a little too Mechutzev, you know, whatever. I had my riot in the Tosefta, and I told him that I wasn't quite sure, but he could be being Machshel people in Isra Skila. Whatever, I shouldn't probably have said that. I'm not sure I said it quite that chutzpahdik, but I might have. I still happen to. It really just meant that I disagreed with his psak and Hilchos Shabbos, and I thought something was Esther and he thought it was Mutter. Right, that was the upshot of that machlokes. Don't learn from me. Do not be that disrespectful. Please don't do that.
That they were the reason, or in your opinion, they're the reason that multiple people went off the draft. Is that?
Oh, that is really not nice. Don't do that. Please never say that to me.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. But
it's the truth.
You should understand the reason I'm giving Ray Willig as an example here is because I think Ray Willig is an excellent, excellent posig. Right? He is like my so.
Okay.
So you couldn't say that like some guy that's like really bad in yeshiva and bad with kids that he's like the responsibility that everybody.
I know what you're talking about. I don't want to know. Okay, Siv Dalet.
Not now. This yeshiva.
That seemed like a very specific.
I'm going to move on.
No, yes.
Okay. No, I have a very specific case.
Okay, guys, let's continue. Siv Dalet. Asur la'adam lahorot lifnei rabo le'olam. But you are not allowed to paskin in right. Bifnei Rabbah, literally, your Rebbe is there.
That's what Rav Sheed said to me.
And if you do, you are liable for the death penalty.
If you are
if you paskin in front of your Rebbe. Again, this is a very fine line, right?
What's considered? That basically means if you're in front of Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rabbi Soloveitchik said it is mutter to use electricity on
if I'm in front of someone who's dead, I don't know what I would do, right?
If you say, if this is what I would do. One time I was speaking with Rabbi Chait about the electricity thing, and I was like, "Well, that's insane!" But we were like discussing it, and he's like, "Moral, you'd be more halachah lifnei rabo, you'd be high misa."
You know, the Rabbi is not the only person who says that.
It says what? That electricity is mutter on you?
Yes. He's not the only
person. I'm just the only one that I'm aware of.
Yes.
Wait, what's considered possible? Like, if you say, all right, this is what I would do.
See,
then
your I hope right now you appreciate how beautiful Shulchan Aruch is. Hold that thought for just a second. He says, Vafil and Hilt Rashit Lamani Tok Sholosh Parsa Oat. Within three parsa, you can't take, even permission doesn't work. Im Hayarab Marabho Mufak. If he's your Rebbe Mufak, right? Your main Rebbe, which we'll have to define. Siv Zion. Nachum's question: Lo mikri hora'a. What is a psak? Right? Ela shemore amasav shabalafana. That means specific, not what is your opinion about this. Someone comes and said, "What do I do with my spoon?" Right, which fell into the wrong pot.
Oh yeah.
Right. Right. Shaila that happens practically now. Right, and I say you do this, and my rav is there, and I don't let him say, "You do this." Right. But he says, Aval, and this is Shua's
even
point.
Even if your rub would have paid you that same
yes,
block.
Yes.
Wait, Aval, wait, that Ramah, can we go back up to that Ramah? The Ramah says,
you're quoting your...
Yeah.
The Ramah says, Rishus, meaning if the Rebbe gives you Rishus, lo mahani, it doesn't help toch shlosha parsos. Even if you're three parsos away from him?
Yep.
It
is your Rebbe Mufa.
So meaning if... Rabbi
which we're going to have to define.
If someone asks me a question right now...
You're one of the few people I know who has a Rebbe Mufa, I'm just saying. Yes.
Okay. So this actually happened. So let's say someone came into the dorm to me and asked me some question. I could not because I'm within Cholish Parso, so Rabbi Chait.
Wait till Sivchen.
Okay.
Okay. So he says, now again, this is Shua's point. Avalim Shalula Talmid Halachaki Debremi. Right? If someone didn't ask you, what do I do with my spoon right now? He said, what do you think the halacha is? So then, Yacholo Mar Masha Bedato.
Wait, in that language, what do you think though?
Yeah, what is your opinion? You're allowed to say. It's only if he says, what do I do with this spoon, right?
Why can't you say the Ashkenazim do this?
There is a difference. It's a difference.
No, because,
it's a difference.
Again, it's only...
There's a difference.
By asking, what do you think I should do with this spoon?
I'm not giving you sock.
What's the
difference? That's different.
No, go totally. If you want to say...
It's the same outcome.
Shani Hussle. In this case.
It's different.
That's also considered a sock.
You can't.
Why just ask every one of my psak questions as what do you think I should be doing?
Well, you can, and you know what would happen under those circumstances?
It's not halachically binding.
There you go. Kevan she'ino morel maaseh shebalafanav. Right? If you're asking a theoretical, correct. Psak is binding if it is a question about a specific case that comes. If it's not theoretical, but if you pose it as a theoretical, right? It is.
How do you pose it as theoretical?
No, it's not. There's not semantics. Like if I come and I ask the rabbi's opinion, but I don't ask him what to do, right? I said, what would you say in such a case? But I'm not saying this happened. I want to know, right? That is not called a psak. That is called an opinion.
I drop my spoon in the pot. What would you do? That's not psak.
If there's not an actual
that's
spoon,
that's theoretical. You're theoretical.
It's not,
you know that's theoretical.
It's not theoretical.
Say,
I just
what would
my
you
spoon.
Do? What would you do?
Yes.
Mahayita osa.
No, it's the according to the Gemara, something is a psak when he verb when he says malacha l'maaseh. This is what you should do.
The difference between mahayita osa and ma'aseh. What shall I do and what would you do?
Yep. It's not theoretical. If you ask,
it's an outcome.
Not even necessarily. You could be a different outcome because psak is based on your.
Correct.
Your situation.
Sock.
This situation could be sock different. Sock
means
so you
you're asking
you do,
about
different.
A specific instance and you want a practical answer to that
look,
issue.
Look, I'll give you a perfect
what
example.
What do you think I should
you know how many times our
yes.
has been... Has
and if he says, Ad shiomru lacha halak. And if he tells you this is what to do, that is practical. Right? That is considered halakha l'maseh.
So is it how he answers or how you ask?
No, it's how you ask. If you say, well, both. Right? Meaning, it's if you say, what do I do in this case? And he says, this is what you do, that is a psak.
If I say, what do I do in this case? He said, I would do this. Is that psak?
If he refrains from giving psak, it's not psak.
That's not psak.
Okay.
You know,
it's the difference.
Okay, both sides can prevent. Sure, both sides can prevent from being psak, right? The
okay.
The shoel can just say, look, what does Rebbe think the halacha is in this type of case? Without saying,
okay.
Right? First, then it's
is
not
that
psak.
How you spoke to your
and if. Sometimes, yes. And if
you told me not to speak to you that way.
Yeah, I only did that for Lichtenstein. I didn't do that for anybody else.
Can I give Shua a specific case that I think will make it
yes.
very clear to him?
Wait a second.
Okay, sorry.
Now, but a posek can also choose to not poskin, and I will do this sometimes. Right? Someone will ask me a child, and I'll say, look, I'm not going to poskin for you. Right? This is what I would do because of this opinion, but this is not the only opinion out there. I'm not telling you this we have to do. I'm giving you the... Right? Sometimes... when someone asks me a shayla,
yeah, but if they're asking you, then
they're clearly
won't
really
want
well,
to
so, get a response. So,
sometimes, sometimes I'll get a response, or sometimes I'll ask them.
So
I'll
they
say,
don't
look,
want it to be a lawfully binding.
Well, no, sometimes they do, and I won't do it for them.
He's saying he
right?
doesn't want to give them something that they have to submit.
Right.
To.
Let me give you an example. If someone comes to me and asks me a shayla, and I know, I have a very strong opinion about it, but I know my opinion is the minority, right?
Yeah, but.
So I can tell them, I can say, look, this is my opinion, right? But I'm not telling you that, all right, I sometimes will be hesitant to paskin for them, because why should I bind them to a minority position, right?
They're asking their opinion.
Well, so someone I'll tell them, I said, do you want me to explain the sugya to you and tell you the options, right? Or do you want me to decide for you, right? Right, before I do that act of stop paskining, right? Now, sometimes I will, right? Sometimes I will ask them straight up. Now, by the way, there is a magic to poskening, right? Which is, as I tell people sometimes, I tell them, look, if you want me to posken for you, I will. And know that what that does is it will take the responsibility away from you. Right? Meaning, if you want me to posken, that means, right, what I'm accepting on myself, right? You are accepting to listen to me, and in return, I'm accepting, essentially, and we can explain this later, I'm accepting the divine punishment if I got this wrong.
It's like power over
right? Time. Right, yeah, meaning, if you are willing, if you want my decision, understand that I'm willing to grant that, right? I'm willing to go through that process. I will give you my decision, right, which will relieve you of the pressure, right? But... Right, because now it's not your fault, right? You asked me the shayla, now it's my fault.
You think it's right.
Right, you're asking me, right? This is what I think, right?
Okay, wait, I gotta give this to you, because he's gonna get this.
Okay, go.
It's like this. Let's say I say to Rabbi Chay, what do you do about meat? He says, I personally eat Beit Yosef.
Okay.
But when I asked him, what can I eat?
Yeah, he said...
He said, I could eat dry okay. Because of my situation.
Oh, like craziest thing.
Because of my situation. That
I happen to know that they like Rabbi Rauchbach, so that's why I'm just saying that.
What?
Every single Rabbi, it wasn't even Rabbi Chait, it was Yeshiva Shrebaim in Richmond. I asked every single, almost
no,
every
I,
single
I just happen to know from Shmuel David that he likes.
I know.
My question is, if
I'm
you
saying,
ask
even
him, what
Rabbeim,
do you, like, what do you think I should do?
I don't know about the meat, I'm just saying in general. I have no idea.
You also see them as like...
No, he likes it a lot.
That's the funny thing though. Like,
no,
like every
Rabbi
asked,
me?
Like,
okay.
I have no information. I have not been able to get a straight answer about it ever.
Me in the situation.
Right? So I have no clue.
That's
I am to like Ryan Rahlbach also. You know?
You're saying the words, what do you think?
I have no...
That's what I was asking.
I don't know.
What do you think is going to play a difference in how you structure it?
Yosef, I don't know, and I would never say something like that on recording, because whatever I say, someone will listen and hate me. So the answer is I have no opinion. None.
Oh my gosh.
He asked me about Triangle K. I have no opinion.
Wait,
this is like one of those heated issues.
Are you putting this on Waiatora?
Yes.
I shouldn't have said that about Ryan Chait then, but whatever.
Okay. I can cut it out if you want.
Let's say in this situation, I said, if I were to say, Rabbi Ziering, what do you think I should do in this case? That would be Pesach.
That's Pesach. That's correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. That's I was asking on the Lashon of what do you think? What do you think instead of what is?
No.
Or what would you do? Because Pesach is
not
situation.
Not what you would do, but what Pesach, do you think?
Pesach is anything that the upshot of it is, what should I do in this case? Not up there, right? Not lambdas, right. Not whatever. Okay. Next. Next point, and I must have made this point 100 times to anyone who's ever asked me. This is very important. Lo, and this might help answer your question.
Okay.
Lo mikri hora'a, right? Ella b'davar sheish bo chidush la sho'el. It is only considered a psak if it is novel. Right? If someone comes and asks me a halacha, which is straight out of Shulchan
Aruch, do I have to put on tefillin every
day? I am, or even, I forgot to say Mashiv HaRuach Amorid HaGeshem. Do I repeat Shmur Esrei? That you can paskin in front of your Rebbe, because that doesn't count as a psak.
Right.
Psak is very specific, and this is why it's a lack of respect. Psak is issuing something which is novel, which is not black and white, where I'm issuing my opinion, not I'm just telling you the information.
Interesting.
Right?
We're right, not gathering Matzias.
I'm not telling you a basic, right? It's that this is a question that is novel, right? It's not like obvious, and I'm weighing in and saying this is what I think. Right? Not this is what the halacha is. Everyone knows that's what the halacha is. That doesn't count as psak, right? And I make this point all the time. 90% of what you ask as a shayla, which you call psak, is not psak. Psak does not mean you are not knowledgeable and your rav is more knowledgeable. That's not psak. That's merely conveying information. Psak is, this is not an open and shut case, and your Rebbe is making a decision that, right, is choosing a side, right, is issuing an opinion, right? That's psak. Psak is not telling you, by the way, that's what it says Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, and everyone agrees. That's not psak, right? That's maramako. That's telling you, this is obvious. Right? That's you don't have information
about,
on writing
let's
it.
Say, what about, let's say someone says to you, hey, I cooked an egg in a meat pot. Can I eat that with kuta? And you say to them, you're Ashkenazi. No.
And what
is that issuing hora?
So what do you think?
Well, I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, look at his example. Ava b'horaya d'ashi p'shuta l'kol. What is the example of things that everybody knows? Kagon, no ting dam l'fgam l'vat l'esib b'shishu chayos b'elu mutter. The example of things that everybody knows, even though you don't all know it, is all the basic laws of kashrus.
So
correct.
So then that would be mutter.
Correct.
The stomach that would be
correct. And this
even
is
though it's machlokas.
Correct. Presumably, right? Something which is basically straightforward, right?
That's only because there's an Ashkenazi story to buy. But let's say in a theoretical world where it was really not an Ashkenazi
story. Then it would be.
And it would really be, I find the Svar of the Rambam, or I feel like the Rambam has a good diak in the Gemara.
Correct. That's hara. Right? Hara is only where I make that decision. Right? Not conveying information. And this is why it's disrespectful. It's not disrespectful coming to some, you know, if I'm standing next to Ray Chait, it's not disrespectful if someone says, I forgot Mashiach HaRuach, there are Pichman Esrei.
Right?
That's easy. Right? It's disrespectful, right, for me, even though he's not my Rebbe, right, but fine. He's the senior rabbinic figure in the room. Right? Here's a very, very controversial issue, right, which is not settled at all, right?
Right. So for example, if someone came and
if
someone said, can a Levi go on Risha?
That's not controversial. Shulchan Aruch says mutter.
And you said yes!
If Yaakov comes to me, no, that I know he says differently. No, but like very easy. If Yaakov comes to me and says, Rabbi Ziering, what should I do about second day Yom Tov? Right?
Right.
I am not being Machanis Roshi Bein Aharim, right? You go ask Rabbi Chief. Right? I don't, right?
Which is the sukkah we're doing, by the way.
Oh, very good. So then you can ask him at the end of the sukkah. Okay?
So it's disrespectful. I don't understand why it's disrespectful.
I mean, technically, he's not my Rabbi, but fine.
I still don't understand that.
Because that's not, I know something. That is,
I'm thinking
this is
something.
Correct. And that, to issue my opinion, again, I'm allowed to disagree.
Right.
right? What I can't do is, you know, someone comes in the room and my Rebbe standing right there is say, what are you essentially saying? You're saying that on this open question, which is subject to authority, my authority is what should make the final decision here.
Or my authority is valid enough and
now,
therefore you can...
Now, it's legitimate. You can say to your Rebbe, Rebbe, I disagree and this is why, you know, X, Y, and Z. You can do that. Remember, you're allowed to do that. Right? What you're not allowed to do is impose your authority on someone when someone with superior authority is present.
You're asked.
If you went up to only in a Rebbe Movebook, right?
If someone came up to your Rebbe
Movebook, remember this is your Rebbe.
So if someone came up to my Rebbe Movebook, I said blah 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 blah, and my Rebbe said do this, and I came up and then I said my answer. That's disrespectful. Well, then you're undermining what your Rebbe saying because what you say is more important. But if someone comes up to me and asks me, what is the halacha, and my Rebbe's there, I don't think it's disrespectful for me to say, knowing what I know, knowing your situation, I think this would be the answer.
So that, right, so that's what the halacha assumes is in fact problematic.
That I don't. Why would that
Okay, so let's just say it was I'll just pick someone.
I didn't think we were going to spend so much time on the Kavod issue, but okay, great.
Let's just say I picked I don't really want to single out a Rebbe in the yeshiva. That's not my Rebbe Movehawk, but I think you know who my Rebbe Movehawk is. But let's just say we picked a non-Rebbe Movehawk and they someone asked
Nachum, Nachum, your non-Rebbe Movehawk.
Right, so let's say we took Nachum.
Reb Nachum,
he's Tam Chacham Ba'olam. But so someone comes and asks me a question in front of Nachum or Nachum, and I answer. That is not. That's no problem.
What is it? Straightforward, Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah. Stop.
No, no. If, wait.
What did you say?
If let's say someone asks me a psak question.
Oh, so we're going to have to define Rebbe Movehawk. We're going to have to define Rebbe Movehawk, but let's hold that. Right, Rebbe Movehawk
here
is... Stomach,
whatever the definition
is. No, because Rebbe Movehawk here is actually different than elsewhere, so hold that.
Fine, but I'm saying whatever the definition we give for Rebbe Movehawk is, if he's not your Rebbe Movehawk, whatever that definition is,
which but here is more expensive. Seems correct. Like, okay, fine.
Most people...
Well, okay. Well, we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see
fine,
what
I'll hold on.
Okay.
Now, you put a Toronto...
Movehawk is like set. Your established Rebbe.
You must have made this a couple years ago.
The one that you always go to every question.
You must have made this a couple years ago.
Why?
TorontoTorah.com.
Oh, I did make this. I made this, yeah. I made this a while ago. Okay, so... Lo sevchet, lo mikri horai el v'davar sheyesh bo. Sorry, I did that one. Sevchet, yesh mishe kadav shekola katuv b'sfarim mipiskei agaonim yachol v'meirabo. Rock, right? Some say it's not just something that's obvious. It's even something where I'm quoting from somebody else, right? As long as I'm quoting from other sources, right? Rock lo yored davar milibo. As long as it's not that you're relying on your authority, meaning. Even if it's a machlokes, some people say, look, I'm allowed to say, oh, I think Ramosha Feinstein's right. Because, right, this is even more expensive, right?
It's that's still considered possible.
That's no, not, some people say not, even that's mutter, right? Because then I'm not saying that I can poskin in front of my Rebbe.
Because it's not your rayas. If you're giving
correct,
your
I'm
rayas,
saying Ramosha said this.
Right, I think
right?
You should keep doing this for this reason. You're not saying, oh, this is what
that's
my Rebbe
that's
is.
That's
like, oh, so again... Rockler read davar mili bo is rockler tablet milta milta b'fnatzmo. The only thing you can't do is say this is what I think because of me, right? Okay.
All right.
I feel like you're slanting it every time.
What?
Because of me and
that's what it says. That's what it is.
Well, yeah. Well,
davar mili bo. I'm just reading it.
But then why
right?
are they coming to them? Why are what? They going to that person?
Oh, because again, we're talking about someone who's qualified to be a posek.
I know.
What? One more copy
and
here.
And then magically, when the Rav is in the room, it becomes disrespectful.
Correct.
In front of him.
Correct.
Okay.
Wait, so when do you reach a level where it's not possible?
Never. Never. That's exactly the point. Because this, right? That's why I said. Oh, so there. Remember, I said there's three different factors, right? There's
so,
kavod.
I mean, I don't kavod. Know the
of no, sorry, so I'm saying Ramosha, who's dead.
Okay, so now you can pass him
away. And the rub.
No, obviously.
Yeah, but I like
again, that's what I said. There's certain things, the kavod question tells you that even if you are a qualified posek, right, you are fully allowed to paskin, there's certain dogs where nevertheless, there are circumstances in which you're not supposed to weigh in. Right? As soon as you walk out of the room, you can paskin. Right?
No,
right, that's fine.
I thought you have to know everything to be a...
Again, like I said, there are three factors. There's we haven't gotten yet to how do you get to be a posek. I'm saying there are certain things that... Right, I'm starting with a couple just to highlight. I'm just highlighting the fact there are certain things that even if you are a posek, undeniably a posek, you're allowed to poskin. There's still certain times you're not allowed to poskin because part of the halakhic process is respect.
What if your Rebbe defers the...
If your Rebbe tells you, you can answer different, right? Maybe. But remember, I feel a need to elaborate. Sure doesn't work.
He just says, I don't want to answer this question.
Maybe. But we said not clear either. Okay. Now, there is another case. La Frushe Me Isura. What if someone's about to violate an isser? So then what's the halacha? Can I stop him?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there you're weighing the kavod of your Rebbe versus the kavod of God.
Yeah.
That's obvious, right? You see someone violating Isser, or it's just evil. Even in front of your Rebbe, you're allowed to say, no! Now,
that's also not... Well,
Now there is a bit of an unclarity.
Wait, what if it's a case? What if you feel like he, what if it's like the case of you and Rav
good Charlie,
and you felt that it's usher and he felt that it's usher. You say no, it's Mr. Derisa. No, you're making tea on Shabbos. The Mishnah says it's a Derisa.
Okay, good.
What if in Ron of Ramosha you said that?
I don't think I'd be mityamer to do that. Okay.
Okay.
Now there is one question which is a little bit interesting here, which is, okay, what happens if, and this maybe comes back to Shua's question, right? A random person asks you a shaila in front of your Rebbe, so you should defer your Rebbe. But what if there's a good reason for that person to ask you and not your Rebbe? The classic example in Psak is, it's your family. Right? This is Sif Yudbet. Im b'nei beito shel tamid hutzrachu lehora'a v'sha'alulo, lo yara lahem b'makom rabo. So Shulchan Aruch says, you're still not allowed to do it. But
family member, or
yes,
you know. Oh, then yeah, because you're biased.
You still can't. No, not biased. Not yourself. Not I've shouted about you. Your kids, your family.
What if
you're biased?
You don't want your kids.
Well, yeah, they
don't want them to what?
You don't want them to
not a Vera. They're asking you a shayla. They're asking you a shayla.
Listen, this is good because obviously if you say it's bad,
they're too connected to the
situation. No, before you're asking a shayla. Again, we're going to see that bias is not really much of an issue. So we'll see.
Wait, this case is if you're in your own house.
No. B'nai Beito, right? You're next to your Rebbe, or your Rebbe comes
and
over for dinner, and your family asks you a shayla.
Says,
I feel like that you're going to be biased.
Okay. Can I...
That's mutaros.
Can I...
So Shulchan Aruch says usher.
Cheeseburger that looks like Iron Farmer. It's fake cheese.
One second. Like, so Shulchan Aruch says you still have to defer to your Rebbe when your Rebbe is there. Right?
Oh, so he does hold it's usher.
Wait. Skip for a moment to number two. But this is not obvious. Right? The Rebbe Yeruchim quotes the Rush. Who says ki yesh lehistapek in bnei beito shel talmid who trechu lahora'a v'shalu umutar kmo shamarno bidikat sakin latzmo unemar delo dami ki davka sakin she'enu lechvodo shel chacham. He said it's suffik. The Gemara says that if you ask about a shechita knife, which the Gemara says is not really a shaila, it was just a formality of respect. You would ask the Rav, is the shechita knife good? So that you have to ask your Rebbe because that's honor which was due to the Rabbi, right? So, is every other shayla like it or not? Meaning, are you allowed to paskin for your family in front of it? Rabbi Yerucham says it's a suffix, but he paskins, as the Beit Yosef does, that it is usher. Okay?
And the Rosh is Mesupak?
The Rosh is Mesupak, and he's Machriya Le'Isser.
Why does it bring up the knife case? Why does it bring up the knife case?
Because that's an exceptional case. That was apparently a symbolic thing they asked the Rosh.
That's a specific case towards your Rebbe.
That kind of sounds like
any other case that's not specified.
Okay, so he, right, that's why he's Mesupak, right? But he ends up being Osir. But if you continue, so this is a tshuva from the Shevet HaLevi, Reb Vosner. He writes as follows. He says, okay, but there's still yet one other case, right? There's one case which is even more. There's one person who it's even more likely they will ask you a shayla than your family. No. You. Do I have to ask my Rebbe? Am I allowed to paskin for myself?
You already said no.
In front of my Rebbe.
You can't paskin for yourself automatically.
No, we didn't get that. I said, can you? We're going to talk about that. The answer is probably going to be yes. Right, you can.
Really?
All right. Really? Yes.
Bias.
Yes, you're like shocked, but that's why
I said
that was the third issue we have to talk about, right? Right? But as we'll see, the answer is going to be, according to most people's skim, either always you can or usually you can.
Because you're in front of your own?
No. Like, in general, the answer is going to be you can always baskin for yourself, right? Leave your rav out of it, or usually. We'll see. That's how we baskin. But he says, what about Linyan Lahorot Latzmo? So he says, Ayin Begillion Marsha B'Shem Orachayim HaKadosh Parsha Shmini. It's there if you look it up. Okay, it's hard to find, but fine. Shinistapeg Baze, he's Misupak. Ibra Matzati Bal Orachayim Atzmo B'Sefer Rishon Letzion. But in the Orachayim Sefer on Shas, and I gave it to you, number 6, pshita le demutra lahorot latzmo. Dein geder hora makshamora lezulat. Yashiv, rabbi tanchacham chazin lenafshei. And his conclusion in the end is, at least that is not called psak. Deciding what to do yourself, that is not called psak. That is called deciding how to act. That's not called psak. Right? Psak is someone else is asking me to impose authority.
You're still taking the blame for it.
Right, it's for me to impose authority, right, to act as an authority figure. That's the problem. When I do something myself, it's not, I'm not imposing my own authority. Right? This is a very limited halacha. And if you want to look at it inside, it's number 6. Vahid b'dikat sakin, damr chacham chazin hashay, dam yelah ra, deminkar demaisa, deshabodik matir, gubdik agam lashay, avid havi lehara. Fine. If you look at the Pitchei Tshuva in 4, he writes, I am b'tshuvot chavot Yair, kadav sham b'pshitut, d'chol horaot isur v'heter shabar la'adam b'toch beito sharei lo'dot im barachihu. V'afil makom rabo, the chavot Yair disagrees. The chavot Yair says, no, if a shiloh comes in your house, that is your domain. Right, the reason you're poskening is not it's not disrespect your Rebbe. The reason you're poskening is because your kids ask you shilas. They're not doing it to like, you know, because it's not because they think you're better than the than your Rebbe. Right, it's because your family. He says that's true, but he says that means your kids, right? Like not your parents. It means like your kids ask it, right? You know, it'd be a bit weird, like your parents would come to ask you and like your Rebbe is there, right? It's a bit weird. If your kids ask you, that's what he says. And he says, and you have a part in the Shaila, even a little bit, right? The way in rabbinic terminology we say a little bit is a shminit of a shminit, right? Which is 1/64th. Why 1/64th? I don't know, right?
You said it. Your kid comes and asks you, you're in front of your Rebbe, it's okay.
So Shulchan Aruch says no. The Pitchei Tshuva quotes Chavad Yair says yes.
What's the rationale for saying yes? So you're still in front of your Rebbe.
Correct. But the answer is, because there, it's not, right?
Like posking for yourself.
Like it's not a disrespect, right? I'm answering for my kid because the reason they're asking me is because I'm their father. Not because they think I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham, right? It's because they're my father, right? They're my kids. It does. Because remember, this is all perception. Am I slighting him? And the answer is, right? The Shulchan Aruch says yes. It is slighting your Rebbe, and the Pitchei Tshuva quotes from Chavad Yair. He says no, right? If my kids ask me, right, if my Rebbe is there, he's not going to be insulted, right? This is not that someone from the community is coming and I'm imposing my authority, right? My kids, right? My kids are asking me a shot.
Close friends.
What? Right. So, right now, right, the question of whether you can expand it is interesting, right? It seems not to be. It seems the posts are very limited. And the Pitchei Tshuva himself doesn't like this. He just goes to the Chavad Yair. He says, "V'tei mashloi v'klal divrei Torah v'mechaber v'kan." He said, "It's very nice," but the Chavad Yair ignores Shulchan Aruch and the Rush, whatever. The cause of Shadas noted Davka v'dikasagish sheinu l'chodesh Shulchacham v'davar isr v'heter afil atzma asr l'arv makom rabo v'tzarch iyun keis. Now, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes as follows in number 5. He says, "Vida, dizesh asr l'tamid laharot b'makom rabo afil b'sheilah shereito asr laharot k'mon shkadar reina video safe v'sif yud bev v'zal shano v'nei v'yoto shal tamid v'zruchu lo ra v'shalu lo leir lehem b'makom rabo arkan l'shano u'mashma l'loshon zem mashma davka l'vnei v'yoto." Again, this is only to other people. V'latzmo mutar laharot l'asod em igiyat laharaa v'din barur asli d'chemen din amor l'acherim ein zeh heder kavod l'rabo. Now, you could have argued on this, but this is the Chasholch on the region of Zion, etc. Yeah. And the answer is no. We paskin that's not true. Ena then dan le'atzmo means that you can't judge by yourself, but that's din. It's din imamanot. You are allowed to. We'll see. The majority position in poskim is that again. We'll see. The conclusion is either you're always allowed to paskin for yourself, or you're almost always allowed to paskin for yourself. I will put in brackets, and we'll see this. It doesn't mean it's always a good idea, right? If you have a shiloh where you actually feel biased, right, and you feel like you can't give yourself an answer with integrity without being biased, then don't paskin for yourself, right? It's not. This is right. Now, it may be a good idea sometimes, therefore, to ask someone else, right? But fundamentally, we'll see. That's not necessarily the case. You don't necessarily have to. Okay, Sifkid Gimel. Back to Shulchan Aruch. Talmid Shalohi Gil Horah Moreh. Let's say you are a Talmid who is not ready to paskin. Now we're not talking about someone who's ready to paskin, right? All these halachot, we're talking about someone who is qualified to paskin, has external factors. But now we move to question 2, which is not someone who has an external limitation, but someone who fundamentally isn't allowed to paskin. We really don't like that person very much. that person is, this is what we say about him, and this is almost a direct quote. This is like a direct quote from the Gemara in two places, and so it's a Daf Chabet and Avodah Zarah Yutet. Talmid Shalohi Gilo Ra Moreh, if you are not qualified to Paskin and you do, Hariza Shote Rasha Vegasruach, you are an idiot, evil, and arrogant. And now it gets worse. Va'alav Ne'amar, again, this is a quote from the Gemara, they're not making this up. Ki Rabim Chalalim Hipila. And the Torah says about you, you have killed many corpses. You have caused many corpses to fall, right? It is akin at some level to murder.
Hapila means killed?
You have made fall, right?
You have made
corpses fall.
I see that.
V'talmidem aktanim hakovtzim. The Rama writes, "Talmidim aktanim hakovtzim laharot v'leishiv rosh." Those young students that jump to paskin and sit at the head, ulehit gadel b'vnei amei aretz, and you know, show off in front of the amaratzim, the hamonam, marbim machloket, the increase fights, machrivim haolam, destroy the world, michabin neirashel Torah, and extinguish the light of Torah. Bizaher kol adam shel yorek shu shatu yayin. Parenthetically, don't paskin while you are drunk, intoxicated, or shatu mishakrim. I feel the davar pashut, even something obvious. Ki im lo davar shabar ba poskim zilzer kai be rafu. Unless it is legamre obvious. Now, the last sif we'll see here is the flip of this is
how much wine, how much is
so.
It?
One second.
What's the shear of obvious?
Or reveals.
Oh,
the meth?
He says things that are explicit in poskim. Yeah.
So basically,
it's unclear.
So no one can poskim in the middle of the seder?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that such a great...
Yep. Now, the Gemara links two things, I think, right? The Gemara takes one pasuk and it says half of it means that people who aren't qualified shouldn't paskin, and the second half is what's in Yudalah, which is kol chacham sheigil horav eino moreh. If you are qualified to paskin and you do not, hareza moneah Torah, you are preventing people from getting Torah, but notein michshalot lefnei rabim, you are putting stumbling blocks in front of the rabim.
Don't you not paskin?
Shah. V'alav nemar, I'm not 40. V'alav nemar v'atzamim kol harugah. Or that many are those that you have killed.
So now
I want to make a very simple agadic claim that I made years ago, which is, I think it's not accidental that Chazal linked these to two halves of the pasuk. Right? Because, why would you link it? Right? Tell me, what is Chazal trying to tell you by linking these to two halves of the pasuk? It's not a real drasha, it's Mishlei, it's a Samachta. Right? But what are they doing by linking them?
It's two sides of the same coin.
Yes, exactly. Why is it two sides of the same coin?
Because they're just two extremes.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more than that, right? I think it's because if people who can paskin don't, then who is going to run to fill that place?
People who can't paskin.
People who can't, right? There are always unqualified people who want to be experts. And if the experts are overly hesitant, right, the result is that people who...
Interesting.
Right, so that's good my shot, claim that what Chazal are saying.
Good shot.
Right, is that the way I understand that, though, is at which point your authority is needed, right, then you should not be shy about it, because then the wrong people will paskin. Right? But if there's somebody else doing it, well, you don't have to jump to paskin, right? Like, there are plenty of wonderful paskin in the world who are senior and qualified and know what they're doing, right?
Right.
There may be some people who want to, you know, issue their halachic positions, but can't see it. That doesn't get across in the recording. But that, I think, leaves us right. That sort of finishes. I think, topic one within it, right? Which is recognizing and transitions to number two, right? That topic one is recognizing that part of the halakhic system is respect, and therefore there are times when even if you are posse, qualified, etc., you can't paskin, because part of being part of the halakhic process is showing respect, even if you are an expert. The bigger questions are question two and three, right? Which is what we've now segued into, which is, okay, very good. But once that is only true when your Rebbe is standing there for a very specific type of a psak, which is mechudash, and that, right? That happens, like, how often does that happen? I don't know. Right? The bigger question is, right, well, at what point am I qualified to paskin? Right? And therefore I can start issuing decisions and not relying on other people. And what we've seen now, which will lead us into that, is the stakes are high. Because if you paskin when you're not supposed to, Chazal have very nice things to say about you. Right?
Not evil.
Yeah, that was sarcastic. Evil, arrogant, right? Evil, arrogant, and an idiot. Right? Right? So what we'll have to do next week is, and again, I think these are really three topics, right? I want you to understand this, right? The question of whether you can posek yourself is really three separate topics, right? What makes me a posek? When can a posek not poskin because of bias? And when can someone who should be able to poskin, when is he limited by circumstance because part of being a posek is recognizing your limitations within the system? Right, we've dealt with what I think is the easiest, even though I did not expect it to go that long, because apparently you're all really interested in this structure. Right, the next two I find much more interesting, because this is also a huge machloket. Right, a lot. If you follow a lot of the Jewish polemics, right, it's question two that a lot of them hang on. Right, which is not right. I disagree with you on this decision. Right, Rav Schechter is a big believer in this. Right, he gets angry not because people disagree with him, because he thinks that a lot of people are making big communal decisions who have no business saying anything about anything of anything ever, right?
41 sources.
Oh, this is cut down, trust me. This is like my short version, right?
Jeez.
Remember, I didn't even put a Gemara on this, and admittedly some of these don't have numbers, so that's cheating. But that's fine. But that's what we'll do. I hope to do it in 3 weeks. If we get it both done next week, great. Right, but it's really three separate topics, right? And you want me to hold on to it? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Fine. I'll print out some more, and we'll get through it. Now, right, this is a bit out of order of how I once did it, which is once we do this, okay? If by the end of this you decide that you're not poskim, then we'll talk about how you find a rebbe and how you do that. But first, let's talk about are you qualified to poskim, which is
I don't want to be disrespectful.
Shua clearly is the gadol hador.
I'm not going to have a rebbe because then I.